WJCT in Jacksonville. This is our weekly news magazine and the news podcast of the First Coast. I'm your host, Vince Kong, and this is Redux. For the week of June 23rd, coming up, where should our money go? That's the question we're posing to anyone within earshot of this podcast. It's also the topic of our upcoming live show, Community Thread, which will be a discussion on how your tax dollars are being spent, including a look at all the construction going on around Everbank Field, which
most critics would consider to be corporate welfare.
While proponents of the project say
the dollars that the city used had to be spent on entertainment facilities, city-owned entertainment facilities.
Then, with the revival of downtown Jacksonville already underway, some folks are hoping the River City doesn't neglect its past.
This is truly the crown jewels of Jacksonville's downtown architecture.
And then,
it's not just any facility. It will be a state-of-the-art transportation hub where nearly a dozen modes of transportation will connect.
We'll bring you two stories on the latest project that could transform the area's urban core and what it possibly means to Jacksonville's first suburb. And we'll bring you all the changes ahead for the OneSpark Startup Crowdfunding Festival. I'll also let you know how you can be part of the Community Thread discussion and more on this episode of Redux. Jacksonville transportation officials and politicians of all levels of government were on hand earlier this week at the groundbreaking for the area's Regional Transportation Center. WJCT's Ryan Bank brings us the first of two reports on the historic La Villa neighborhood returning to its roots.
When I am down and oh my soul so weary.
The Ritz Voices, a choir based at La Villa's Ritz Chamber Theater and Museum, began the ceremony with a rendition of the song You Raise Me Up. JTA CEO Nat Ford says the transportation center will eventually connect Greyhound Inner City Service, passenger rail, the downtown skyway, and local bus routes.
It's not just any facility. It will be a state-of-the-art transportation hub where nearly a dozen modes of transportation will connect. A facility that represents the fulfillment of a visionary plan to enhance mobility in our community.
The center is set to be completed in November 2019 and is projected to serve more than 12,000 daily riders. Ford says he hopes it will inject new life into the La Villa community on the western fringe of downtown Jacksonville. Ryan Bank, WJCT News.
Later on this show, WJCT News Director Jessica Palumbo will bring you a closer look at what the Regional Transportation Center, as well as other development in the area, could mean to La Villa. But first, for years, Jacksonville city leaders have talked about bringing jobs and updating infrastructure to make the area more attractive. But are those investments spread across the city equally? That's the topic of WJCT's upcoming live program. Jessica joins me here in studio to give us a closer look at Community Thread, City Spending, Where Should Our Money Go?, which is Thursday night at 8. Hi, Jessica.
Hey, Vince.
So, what are the topics to be discussed?
First, it's a look at where our money is going and the general budget of the city, and the big expense there is public safety. The mayor has prioritized police and adding to the police force, so we're going to be looking at what else the tax money is spent on and where does it come from. So we're going to start with that broad look at the sources of tax revenue going in and the recipients of the spending of our city tax dollars. One of the questions that you heard raised in that introduction is the investment that the city is making spread evenly throughout the area? So we're going to be hearing from some people specifically on the north side of town who say, no, we'd like to see maybe a little bit more city investment in our neighborhoods. And also maybe the people who live in these neighborhoods with some help can make things happen for themselves a little bit too. So that is being reported by Ryan Bank, and here's a little preview.
Nearly a decade ago, black leaders urged their communities to vote for the Better Jacksonville Plan, a halfpenny sales tax to improve infrastructure. Later, an audit found at least $400,000 in planned funds had been improperly diverted from Northwest Jacksonville projects to a consultancy firm. Still, Black Chamber of Commerce President Yazirel says the issue is more complicated than saying the city is refusing to invest in the north side.
I'm in the transportation industry, for instance, right? And I can make $2 to $3 million a year in my relationships and bringing businesses together and contracts and all. But I'm not worth a curse in managing money and running a day-to-day operation.
Yazirel says black business owners often don't qualify for city contracts because they can't demonstrate the required financial management skills. And that's what the Black Chamber is trying to change.
That was Ryan Bank reporting from the Point Coffee Shop on the city's north side. All right, so Jessica, so in the preview, Black Chamber of Commerce President Yazirel said it's not as simple as the city refusing to invest in the north side. But what is the city doing for the area?
There's a couple of different ways to look at that. We heard about economic incentives. City contracts for minority-owned businesses is one issue. And then there's the issue of investment in infrastructure. So is the city building sidewalks and putting in good lighting where it needs to? These are separate issues. And we'll hear more about this during our panel discussion on Community Thread, more from the Black Chamber of Commerce. Also on our panel, we have a representative, Jake Gordon, the CEO of Downtown Vision, talking about investment in downtown and why he thinks that's important. We'll also hear from the faith-based group iCare, who has a lot of different priorities they'd love to see the city spending more on that they're not necessarily spending right now. So they're into juvenile justice reform and ending homelessness and a lot of different causes that they consistently bring up before the mayor and city council and say, here's where we think the money should be going. And we'll also hear from the group Concerned Taxpayers of Duval County. They are sort of the perennial critics of the way tax money is being spent. So one of the big bones that they have to pick right now is a recent project. You might have seen the giant amphitheater right across the street from WJCT, Daly's Place. That was a deal the city ended up kicking in $45 million to build. Lindsay Kilbride has more on that.
It's not an appropriate use of city tourism tax revenue, which city council has dedicated for sports facilities.
The concerned taxpayers have always been interested in the use and abuse of public funds, particularly when they're put to private purposes, which is what most critics would consider to be corporate welfare.
The Jaguars are that private entity who is kicking in the other $45 million to make the amphitheater happen. They're also managing it on behalf of the city. So we'll hear Jacksonville Jaguars president Mark Lamping, who has the response to the concerned taxpayers.
The dollars that the city used had to be spent on entertainment facilities, city-owned entertainment facilities. And, you know, I don't think a lot of people are going to argue that, you know, Daly's Place is going to do a lot for downtown. It's going to bring people here. It's a city-owned asset that we manage, and you know, we basically cover the operating costs. So I think in this particular case, the city did a wonderful job of leveraging their investment.
Yeah, and I'm sure folks on both sides of the issue have lots to say about the Jaguars' influence on this city. Okay, so if folks are interested in joining the discussion, what do they need to do? What do they need to know?
Yeah, we invite you, if you have any questions about city spending, the way that the city budget works, email us, send us those questions. You can also attend. We depend on having a live studio audience on the night of the taping. So that's a big part of it, is getting those questions live for the panel to answer. We also invite engagement through social media. We'll be taking questions on Facebook Live during the actual event. And we hope that people keep in mind also that if a question isn't answered during the panel discussion, whether the panelists can't quite provide the perfect answer or we just don't have time to get to it, and we'll follow up with news stories related to those topics in the same Community Thread banner. So the conversation doesn't end just because the night of June 29th does.
So there you have it. Join WJCT at 8 p.m. Thursday for Community Thread, City Spending, Where Should Our Money Go? Reserve a spot in our studio audience or send us your questions. Just visit the Community Thread or Redux section at wjctnews.org. Also, if you can't make it to the show, make sure to like us on Facebook to find out when we go live, where we'll also be taking all your questions.
Sunday kind of love. I love to last past.
I'm Glenn Fisher, the king of the doo-woppers, inviting you to join me on the doo-wop revival. Sundays at 8 p.m. and again on Monday at 9, right here on 89.9 FM and the WJCT app.
I want a Sunday.
Now, Jacksonville's Historical Society has released this year's list of the city's most endangered buildings. Those are historically significant structures that, if not renovated in the near future, will likely be demolished. As Tiffany Salome reports, the list includes the Chart House Restaurant, the Riverside Fire Station, and downtown's Laura Street Trio.
Ketchup, mustard, and slaw.
Jennifer Morrissey is taking a customer's hot dog order, just as she has for the last 7 years at her stand at West Forsyth and Laura Streets. From her corner, Morrissey faces the Laura Street Trio.
And of course, I stare at them all day, so.
The three buildings have been on the Historical Society's most endangered list for more than 10 years. Morrissey says she's excited for renovations to start and is happy the buildings won't be demolished.
I think with the restaurants coming in and with the Marriott or whatever hotels going in there, it's gonna keep people here and it's gonna keep the downtown alive.
Wayne Wood of the Historical Society says plans include transforming the three buildings into a Courtyard Marriott and the Bullbriar Restaurant.
And hopefully this will be the last year they're on the list. This is truly the crown jewels of Jacksonville's downtown architecture. They must be saved.
A full list of the most endangered buildings is at WJCTnews.org. Tiffany Salome, WJCT News.
Now, Jessica Palumbo brings us her conversation with Ennis Davis of Modern Cities for our second story about the Jacksonville Transportation Authority's Regional Transportation Center, dubbed the Jacksonville Intermodal Station, and its role in bringing La Villa back to the future.
Ennis, what is a regional transportation center?
It's a place where multiple modes of transportation come together, bringing Greyhound, the local bus service, the JTA Flyer bus rapid transit service, and the Skyway monorail system under a single roof.
So you have all of these things meeting in this massive transportation building. It's in the La Villa neighborhood. How do you see this affecting that neighborhood in the future?
Well, if we look at La Villa's past, that was a neighborhood that grew around the Jacksonville Terminal, which during its heyday was the largest passenger rail station south of Washington, D.C. This transportation center coming in, it has the possibility of being an anchor for development in La Villa. What we're seeing now is there are already 200 residential units under construction within walking distance of this project, and another 200 that are proposed. You should expect to see new stores, office buildings, and we'll also get to a point to where we will have to discuss what is the future of the Prime Osborne Convention Center, and how does it fit into the new development?
Okay, so this center could make rail service possible?
The FEC corridor, which served the original passenger rail station, is still there today. And Brightline has already gone through the necessary approvals to have the ability to operate passenger rail service as an extension from their Phase 1 project in South Florida through to Jacksonville.
This could kind of kick off all sorts of changes in downtown.
This will certainly kick off all sorts of changes in downtown. We can see it now. If you drive down Bay Street, there's multifamily residential units already well under construction. And within another month or so, you're going to see significant construction at the Regional Transportation Center site as well.
That's Ennis Davis. He's a co-founder of Modern Cities. That's at moderncities.com. I'm WJCT News Director Jessica Palumbo.
And finally, Jacksonville's OneSpark Startup Crowdfunding Festival will return this fall, but with some big changes. The two-day event will be held at Everbank Field instead of on the streets of downtown Jacksonville. Attendees will also be charged admission for the first time in the festival's roughly four-year history. So what prompted these changes, you ask? Chris Carter, president of OneSpark Ventures, said one major factor was simply the cost.
Very expensive. Very expensive, as has been reported many, many times. So we were looking for a place where we could kind of control the event, could offer a more engaging experience to creators, to attendees, to sponsors, and so forth. So partnering with Bold Events, their world-class team, to be able to execute this in their facilities seemed like a no-brainer to us.
Up to 150 entrepreneurs or creators will showcase their ideas in technology, health, education, and social good. And Carter said, while some things have changed, he's hoping others will remain the same.
Hopefully we can recreate what was on the street, what was on Laura Street and throughout the city over the last couple of years. I mean, we are having a festival zone outside of the West Gate, or right inside of the West Gate, which will include two stages for performers, for acts. We'll have food and beer trucks and things like that, so that whole festival atmosphere. And then inside, we are going to stage the creators, you know, up to 150 of them, as it would, more if we can, but right now 150, in a couple of zones that really identify with the city, you know, healthcare, education, technology, social good. And we'll look at the applications, and if there's a need for a fourth zone or just a kind of a general catch-all, we'll do that as well. But we wanted to try to mirror how the event was staged inside of EverBank and inside of the U.S. Assure Club West with some of the core industries that are here in Jacksonville.
OneSpark will begin with a kickoff concert at the Daly's Place Amphitheater on October 5th. Tickets to the Creator Showcase can be purchased in advance online for $5, or you can pay $10 at the door. Listen to the entire Chris Carter interview on our Redux page at WJCTnews.org. And that's our show. You can find all of our audio and web stories at WJCTnews.org. You can also stream this podcast as well as all of our on-air content on the WJCT app, which is available on iTunes and the Google Play Store. And of course, find us on your favorite podcast app and hit subscribe. I'm Vince Kong, and thank you for listening.